Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is Showtime Soccer of the City live on a Monday night. A rather interesting day in the New York City football club's history, no question about it, as the second coach in their history has departed mid-season. Ronnie Dyla has accepted the position at Standard Liège after 2.5 years and an MLS Cup title with New York City FC. He'll be replaced by Nick Cushing, his top assistant, on an interim basis. So Cushing, for now, the interim head coach. We'll get into that. He signed an extension today, along with assistants Rob Vartugian and Mehdi Bolushi. So we're going to hear from Ronnie Dyla a little past. He has not made any present comments about his departure. Nick Cushing today, and also something I did with him earlier in the year. Well, earlier 2 years ago, you'll hear that. It's pretty interesting, I think. David Lee, sporting director, today's press conference. Alexander Collins, rough day for our guy Collins. Peru knocked out on penalties, although Collins made his penalty like he did against New England and Portland in the MLS Cup playoffs. And World Cup venues are going to be announced on Thursday. They're having a big extravaganza at the Statue of Liberty for the what we would imagine is the, well, it's all the North American announcements, and we figure MetLife Stadium will certainly be one of them. Ironically, on the same night that Paul McCartney, one of the Beatles, will be performing at MetLife Stadium. Here they are, everybody. I'm Glenn Crooks, and these other two guys are here. They're part of the broadcast team for New York City FC on the radio commentary side. I'm on the English. Roberto Abramowitz on the Spanish, and John Rojas, who can do either. He's really remarkable, and as Roberto reminded me, yes, he did an English commentary as well a couple of times. So I don't want to forget that, Roberto. So forgive me at any time that I don't make that clear. But gents, the news that we're going to spend most of the hour on, Ronnie Dyla gone, and Nick Cushing is the main man now, and I guess no surprise over the recent reports and what we discovered for the press conference today, that Standard Liège contacted Ronnie Dyla or his representatives and the club. It had to contact the club because of this compensation feature, low seven figures that New York City's getting for this. But it was only about a week ago. So things happen pretty quickly. Yes?
That is accurate. That's 100% accurate. Within a week, everything happened. As a matter of fact, I had spoken with Efrain Juarez on Friday afternoon, and he said that, you know, he hadn't heard anything at that point, and that he had just come back from Mexico, and that he was going to speak to Ronnie that night. And then the next morning, he texts me, and he says, yeah, the story's happening. We're very close to signing. It's going to happen. So that's how I found out. And that it was true. So yeah, everything happened very, very quickly. And then the announcement was made today. But the team was ready for this. The fact that they had Nick Cushing there, you know, the team is ready for this. I really feel that it's going to be a smooth transition. I don't think, you know, it's not like you're bringing somebody fresh who doesn't know the team and has got to start from zero or anything like that. So, you know, I think it's a good situation for Nick Cushing, and it's his job to lose.
John, were you at all surprised by Ronnie Dyla's departure? Not necessarily maybe the departure, but going to a Belgium team, finished 14th. You'd have to look at the top tier of Belgian football. You can't rate it that much higher, I guess not much lower than Major League Soccer, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have information, you may be surprised. If you read between the lines and the events that were coming through the season, it is a huge chance, a huge opportunity that he will leave in the middle of the season because the fact of the European transfer market is happening right now, right? The window just opened for clubs and it's going to end on August. So they need the coaches to start preseason and build those rosters. And as it was mentioned, for example, today in the press conference, the conversations between the club, New York City FC, and Ronnie Dyla to work on an extension began after the final, right? So you have 6 months and you don't have an extension of contract. That means he had his options. He wanted to have his options open to go back to Europe.
Well, here is sporting director David Lee today addressing just that.
The conversations were fairly normal. We I think Ronnie was interested in staying. We were interested in keeping him. And then I think the conversations have progressed over a number of months until we get to this point. And I think, you know, Ronnie said in the release today it was a really hard decision. And I know from speaking to Ronnie a lot over the last couple of weeks in particular, it's been very difficult for him to try and decide. But, you know, the plan was not to come into the season and have a coaching change in mid-season. I think we wanted Ronnie to stay. And, you know, we now get to this point where we weren't able to agree an extension before now. And Standard Liège were able to meet a clause in his contract that meant he had a decision to make.
Yeah, and there. Whoop, John, we can't hear you. Got to get your mic back on,
yeah,
Johnny. Okay.
I got you. Yeah, because right. It comes a question right away for me to you. It's not run for Ronnie. It's actually the way the business goes about. But the fact that they started the conversations and, you know, yes, David Lee says he wanted to stay. But at the end of the day, if there's another option that takes me back to Europe, I will leave. And that's why I have this window open. Otherwise, he will sign an extension right away as soon as, you know, they got into agreement on the economical side. So it wasn't the economical side. It was just a matter of a better package for him in terms of being maybe closer to home and that kind of stuff.
But well, there's also a relationship there, John. Fergal Harkin was named the sporting director on May the 17th at Standard Liège. He was the football partnerships and pathways manager at Manchester City, and they knew each other and had a relationship. So it's not accidental, this new partnership at Standard Liège, where if they were 14th at the table this year, he could almost only be a rock star. You know, there's only one way to go but up, almost.
Well, you know, there's something important about that 14th place, okay? So this is a team that is accustomed to success. Up until 2008, 2009, which is the last time that they won a championship, this is a team that won 10 championships in Belgium. The last time that they won a cup championship was 2017, 2018. But it's a team that's really been in a lot of turmoil, okay? This is a team, again, that is accustomed to success, and lately it hasn't had it. And he's walking into a little bit of a buzzsaw over here. I'm sure he did his homework. I'm sure they're paying him well. I'm hoping that they allow him to bring in some players because obviously they finished 14th in the table. They were 41 points below the champion. I mean, that's a lot. And they were much closer, obviously, to the bottom than they were to the top. But here's the thing that's interesting. Since 2015, Standard Liège has had 14 coaches. That's 14 coaches in 7 years. That is outstanding in a really, really bad way. So,
and four coaches and four. Roberto, can you hear me? Four coaches in the last 3 years. I just want to add to the discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so that's the situation. Is that this is a team that is very impatient about trying to become good again. So now let's see that there's changes, not only coach, but even further at the top, if they're going to invest some money to try to be able to get players because they're obviously not good enough. There's major problems there. And well, it's a huge challenge. And if he can make that team successful, then, then it's a great adventure.
It's another new ex-New York City coach to follow. We've got Jason Kreis, an assistant in Miami, Patrick, who had great success at Crystal Palace, getting to the Premier League.
Let's start with Patrick.
Well, I'm just going in order, man. And then Dome Tarong, Galatasaray, he's there right now in negotiations. Are they going to re-up him after what was a less than mid-table finish? And then now Ronnie Dyla with a challenge at Standard Liège. And an interim coach, Nick Cushing. So I did ask David Lee if Nick Cushing was indeed a strong candidate to become the permanent coach.
Absolutely. I think we've made clear that we think Nick's a fantastic coach. And I think given the suddenness of the transition, I think it makes sense for all parties to sort of assess, see where things are, for everybody to be able to take a breath and go through this process. I think we want to look at external candidates and see if there might be someone suitable. But I think we're very fortunate to have a really strong candidate inside our own club in Nick, who's done a fantastic job, has been a head coach before and is someone that we really value really highly. So we're really excited for what he can do. But I think we want to make sure that we sort of just take our time, go through a process, given how suddenly this came about towards the end of last week.
Yeah, John. So, you know, that interim tag, I sometimes wonder, well, why not just give him the permanent tag? But the idea is that they are going to, if something really amazing emerges, then they're going to take a close look at it, I would assume. And, you know, we're in that position, though, where, like you said earlier, MLS and the European seasons are set up so differently that that's why Patrick Vieira, then Ronnie Dyla, are, if they're going to make a decision to go, this is when it's going to happen. Unless somebody gets sacked overseas, you know, after the MLS season, and then sometimes that can work out as well. So I think there's every confidence that Nick Cushing will get that permanent position.
I mean, even he said it today, right? That wasn't my ambition when I came to New York City FC. I never thought, okay, I'm going to go there and be an assistant, and at some point I will have to be the manager on my own. Even him saying that, it doesn't mean that that's the natural progression of his career, right? He took the leap, he came, he's working, and at the same time, and decisions like Patrick did or Ronnie now, they're stepping away from the group, right? From the City group. So in the case of Nick, he is being not only pursued, but fed by the group. He teaches, he learns their model of play, methodology. So he is from the house, and well, he's here, and players know them, right? He's working with the players. He we all know that his voice was not only important for Ronnie, but for the players, and that they create that relationship. So for him today is more like, okay, you guys want to make an announcement, but for me it's like, if Ronnie is taking some days off, I'm here. Same thing.
And this is about what he said today.
Yeah, I think naturally when coaches leave and coaching positions change externally, I think there is a lot of change and there is a lot of differences, because coaches come with different ideas and they come from different places and they want to, you know, they want to use their own philosophy and they want to use their own methods of preparing the team. I think here, naturally, because I'm an internal candidate and I've, like I say, you know, I've been here a long time and I'm really fortunate. I've been developed within the organization from a young coach to where I am now. We have a shared philosophy that goes across all of our teams across CFG. So I think it's a natural progression for me personally. I think it's a natural, almost a natural change, but I don't see too many changes because, you know, we all share the same way that we see the game and we have a shared methodology. So, I don't think it's as aggressive as an external change in this moment.
No question about that. We would expect he's going to have something that he does a little differently than Patrick, rather than Ronnie, and then maybe then and Patrick too, since they're all in the same. That's all in the similar methodology mode. But every coach has their own thing. John, you're muted.
Again, so that's the importance of this, Glenn. We're talking about a club that has a clear philosophy, a clear methodology, a clear style of play, right? So they are like covered by that. The elements of the club, this development of the football club, are on top of the coaches. So any coach that comes in, yes, They're going to have some kind of tweaks, their own personality on that. But at the end of the day, the biggest elements of the philosophy are from the club. So that's why a guy like Nick is an important piece on any club. We remember back then when he was assigned basically or named by New York City FC, we thought in that moment, right? I mean, they bring in someone from the house. So if something doesn't work with Ronnie Dyla, they have a replacement right there. Yeah, and at some point when
they won't say that, but yeah, it makes
sense.
No,
we did it from the outside.
Yeah.
Right.
He's been with City Football Group since 2006. And we're going to get into a little bit of that from a previous interview and what he said today, too. But Roberto, you know, he's been ingrained. I mean, he was a volunteer with 9-year-old boys and he's worked his way up, including coaching women, the Man City women, for the first 7 years of their existence. And winning trophies.
Six titles.
Yeah, 6 trophies. And now he's getting a chance as a head coach on the men's side.
Yeah, going back to what John was saying, because I think it's a really good point. It's slightly different from a restaurant, right? Where especially like a chain restaurant, if I can make that analogy. Because if you work for a chain restaurant, I mean, if you go...
Stick with the NFL analogies. But
well,
go ahead.
I'm going here because I know
right.
How much it annoys
We're
John.
Meat now, Glenn.
And he might be hungry, so it's going to be
stop,
even better.
Stop and shop analogies. Go ahead. Here
exactly.
We go.
So, no, but the point being is that if you go to a... All right, let's say an Outback in Ohio or in California or in New Jersey, the steak has got to taste the same. The blooming onion has to taste the same.
You're
yet
right.
When it comes to something like this, yes, there's a general philosophy, but the coach or the chef, if you want to, gets to experiment a little bit. It gets to put a little bit of his own style in this. And I think it's going to take a little while. I think that he's not going to try to change everything in one shot, but I think that it's going to become very, very incremental, that he's going to be making some very subtle changes with the team, and we'll see how that goes. As you said, you know, he has his own ideas of how he wants to do things. I think it would be crazy to change everything, especially when you're coming with a team that's won 7 out of its last 8 games. It has 6 straight shutouts. I mean, there's so many things that are going well, and it's so strange to lose a coach when things are going so well, and now it's happened to New York City twice. And so, you know, normally when you make a midseason change, it's because there's a big problem. But right. This isn't the case. It's totally the contrary. This team right now is carbureting as well as it ever has. And now you have a coaching change and you really don't want to mess this up. You want to continue to do what's working with a team that is playing extraordinarily well within MLS.
The unfortunate part about having similar methodologies and menus in restaurants is if it's Olive Garden, because it tastes the same at every Olive Garden as well. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But anyway, yeah, Nick Cushing. Well, let's hear a little bit more from the new head coach for New York City FC, who has had head coaching experience.
I think one of the positives is I've done this role previously, and although I've been an assistant coach for the last 3 seasons, previous to that, I was a head coach for 7 years, and so I'm comfortable in this role. I understand how the role is slightly different in responsibility, in decision-making, in how you have to approach the role. But I think one thing that we have done really well over the last 3 years is we've built a solid process with this team, and not only do we have a solid working process, we have a team that has a real high work ethic. And when you have those two things, I think this change can be a little bit smoother, and actually we can get the consistency with the team. And I think, you know, coming off the training pitch today, you know, I was really pleased with the way that the training session went. And of course, there will be some slight changes and some small little things because every coach has their ideas. But, you know, I continue to reiterate that when we hire coaches in this organization, it's because they share the same philosophy that our organization has. And that was no different with Ronnie, that he was hired because he saw the game the same way that our methodology and our philosophy is. I'm no different. So I don't think you'll see so many big changes. I think you'll see a team that is prepared to go into the game and continue the performance level that we've had.
And there's Nick Cushing from today, the new interim head coach for New York City FC. And before we continue, I want to play one more from Nick, but this is from May of 2020. If you don't remember this interview, you may find it interesting. It's on my YouTube channel. I put it up today on Twitter. It's 33 minutes with Nick Cushing, 2 months after he arrived from England to take over this position and get hit with the pandemic. He's essentially talking to me from his closet.
Look at the closet. He's not even settled yet.
He's trying to get away from his kids, but it's his journey, which I think, you know, I think New York City supporters would be interested.
We should be clear. You started as a volunteer when you first came into Man City, right? When you were working at the real low levels. I'm curious, and you talked about you've gotten your badges along the way, but where were you soaking it all in? Were you just hanging out there all day, and were you allowed to just kind of wander around and watch everybody operate?
Yeah, that first job in recruitment started off voluntary, and was I actually lived 45 miles from Manchester and used to drive to Manchester to do the coaching, and started off on a Sunday morning and then asked for some more hours and did a Sunday morning and a Monday evening, and then 3 days a week, and then end up doing 5 nights a week. And if I could, because at the time I was actually to supplement that, I was actually doing a cleaning job, which was in the morning, just simple work. It was actually a bowling alley. I was cleaning the bowling lanes, which would allow me to work 9 a.m. till 12 o'clock. So then
that's an important job. Those lanes have to be polished a certain way, right?
Yeah, but because I finished at 12 in the afternoon, it gave me, even though I wasn't coaching until 5 in the evening, I could go up to Manchester at 1 o'clock and just watch. And they allowed me to stand on the side of the training pitch and watch the under 18s boys and watch the reserve team and talk to the coaches. And I think you build rapport with people through asking questions. And I think you build up respect and people start to see that you have a real desire and a drive to want to move on. And I think people give you opportunity then, and I can't say I had this plan in my head.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yep, so he goes on and coaches the Man City women, wins all those trophies. City Football Group sends him across the pond here to New York City FC, and now he's the head coach. I always love the journeys, not just in coaching, anybody's journey. They're always mighty interesting.
That's what the game is full of, Glenn. Stories.
Yeah.
We're all human beings, players, professional players, top athletes, top coaches. They are human beings. And it's important to recognize that. And I think one of the little adjustments that Nate will have to make soon is exactly that. I mean, the relationships. You know this. The relationship between the head coach and the assistant coach with the players is different. The assistant coach is more relatable with the players. He play more with them. He jokes around, make their lives easier. And, sure. And the head coach is the one with the decisions and the heart, you know, the tough love and that kind of stuff. So now,
well, John, when we go to when we go to training sessions, you know, Nick generally is in the trenches and he's really, you know, providing a lot of the energy in the session. And Ronnie Dyla is just arms folded on the side and he's really observing. And that's one of the things I respected about Ronnie, because he did make decisions based on training. And that's why when you went and watched them train, they were massively competitive, because the players knew he took that seriously. But yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're right that the assistant, you know, sometimes their role is to kind of maybe hear a player out that's got a little bit of an issue, that sort of thing. And
yes, but you do that, you know that as a player or as a coach, you know that the players come to the assistant coach and say, hey, can you talk to the guy? He's giving me too much today. I'm this and that. And I just, I don't want him to take me wrong, whatever. Now it's different because he's the one making the decisions.
But also something that's very important is that he sits back and watches everything. He's a delegator, right? I mean, every coach had a pot of players that they were responsible for. And so, they were talking directly to those players all the time and training with those players a lot in different areas. And so now with Efrain leaving, for instance, that's going to become, a very important part of this as well. Not only Ronnie leaving, but Efrain leaving, because Efrain was a guy who translated. He was the bridge between Ronnie and everybody who either only speaks Spanish or barely speak any English. So now with Efrain gone, now they've got to replace that part of communication. Now, David Lee said, they've got a lot of staff that's at Orangeburg all the time, and they're going to be able to communicate that way and things like that in the interim. But I think that's something that they're going to have to eventually replace.
Wicho has to step out right now, and that's his spotlight right now. I know he's a goalkeeper. He may be training part of the training sessions with the goalkeeper crew, but he's the most, prepared person to come and talk to the guys. He's a player and he can help the coaching staff with that kind of translation and messages and that kind of stuff, at least for the short term.
And Eber has to step in for the
Brazilians.
And the Portuguese too, perhaps.
He's going to be able to. Maxi Morales will do it too. But my point with Wicho is that he has, he's
Luis Barraza.
He's a native. Yeah. Right, Luis Barraza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the,
John, the name. Beyond first name relationship nice. With Wicho.
My first thought again, and this is from the sporting side, which is generally where it goes first for me, is you're down two coaches, and everybody has these specific roles, not only the morning of training, the training day, the game day, during the game, halftime. I mean, you have all these specific roles which are now going to have to be adjusted, or someone's going to have to do more than they used to, that sort of thing. So I don't think they've worked out specifically how that's all going to go yet, because that question was sort of asked in both pressers. But one thing I wanted to ask David Lee, and this kind of plays into this missing two coaches. So you've had two coaches, Patrick Vieira and now Ronnie Dyla, leaving mid-season. So I wanted him to compare and contrast.
I think they are similar in terms of time, but I think they're also very, very different. When Patrick left, I believe there was four members of staff departed at the same with Patrick when he went to Nice. This time we're only talking about two. So I think that makes a difference. We also, when Patrick left, we hired externally immediately to fill the role. And I think what we've tried to build is a succession plan and stability, and have people in place who we believe are ready to have a next step in their career and next step for when those opportunities arrive. And we think that's the case, obviously, with Nick and Rob and Mehdi to continue the fantastic work that they've been doing for this club for several years. And so, I think that the situations are similar in timing, but I think they are also slightly different, both in, I think how stable I think we feel right now and around the club. And I think that's been a really key part of our messaging to the players over the past few days is the support staff and everything around the players is remaining very, very consistent. And then, like I say, being able to be in a position and very fortunate position to have somebody like Nick, who we believe is ready to step up and step into the head coach role, is also slightly different than when Patrick departed 2018.
Yeah, I think I remember vividly, Roberto, and Rob Vertugian was mentioned there, Mehdi Belushi, both congratulations to them both signing contract extensions today. But Dome Taron, who is the external candidate but worked for City Football Group, so external, internal, but I know that the difference, internal meaning New York City FC versus somewhere else within City Football Group, But Domi Turan had visa issues as far as getting into the country. It was 2 weeks before he even got here. And Rob Vertugian was partially running training sessions and showing practice clips to Domi, and they were trying to formulate a plan, and they really hadn't even met. So there's a huge difference there.
Yeah, because this is going to be much smoother. And, I think the team was set up for success by having somebody like Cushing there for all this time, because if it came to the point where Ronnie was going to leave either because he was very good or he was very bad, then, they had a succession plan there. So, the team is set up pretty well. And, I'm interested to see. I'm really curious to see what happens with New York City going forward. I'm not, scared for the team, and I don't think the fans should be either. I'm just curious to see, what winds up happening, because these are situations that don't happen very often. As I mentioned before, normally when you change a coach mid-season is because things are going horrifically wrong, not because, things are going tremendously well.
And it would appear that Nick Cushing, in his interim role as New York City continues their season on Sunday against Colorado on an 8-game unbeaten streak, they're in first place in the East, second place overall. And David Lee said today, and he would know, there doesn't seem to be much moving on the Tati Castellanos.
Everyone, I'm sure, can imagine when you have a player performing at the level as Tati has consistently now over the past 18 months, there's a lot of interest, and I'm expecting that interest to continue or potentially increase as sort of the summer market gets busier in Europe. We've had a lot of interest, a lot of phone calls. We haven't had a bid we've received during Tati's time here yet that we've believed is acceptable. And so, I'm sure that will continue and the interest will continue and potentially bids will continue to come in for him because he's a fantastic player and is doing an unbelievable job for our team. And so I expect that to continue. But as of now, there's no tangible update, really. We haven't received an offer that we think is acceptable. And until that happens, then Tati remains in the team and we're looking forward to him continuing to perform and score lots of goals for us. And I'm sure there will continue to be interest in him. And we'll assess that when those offers come. We'll assess that and decide if we think an opportunity is right for him.
All right. Sounds like we got at least a few more games with Tati, but things could come in at any moment. July 7th, the official window opens, right, where movement can be had with Tati either overseas or South America.
So I think we have a clearer idea, though. I'm sorry, John, just let me finish this one thought. I think we have a clearer idea what the valuation for Tati is now, and it's above $15 million. And if they can get anything above $15 million, it's going to go. It was interesting because Taylor Twellman, I think, said on – I didn't see it, but I read it on Twitter – that he had said at halftime on their game yesterday that – that Tati was going to stay and that he wasn't, that they was going to stay throughout the season.
I don't think he said it quite like that. No, I watched that. I don't think he said it quite like that.
Okay. So what did he
say?
I don't think I read it on Twitter that way. So,
okay. I'm just saying I watched it. I don't think he said it quite that way. Plus,
well, tell me what he said then, because I don't want to misquote him.
No, he said that there's no movement. There's no, there's nothing immediate that's going to happen. But I don't believe
he said exactly what David Lee said. There's being calls in contact, but there is not an offer on the table. There's nothing concrete on the table. That's what he said.
So now we know Taylor Twellman's source.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I mean
don't say that, don't tell that to Bruce Arena. I don't know how that's going on. Just a little parenthesis there talking about Twellman, but because he said something about New England Revolution and the possibility to get a DP. And he said, I am totally 100%. I have my sources and they're working to bring a DP to replace Buxa. And then a reporter asked Bruce Arena, he said, I don't know how in hell he knows that. So, and this is a team that is managed, right? He's the sport director. He's the coach. Yeah. So it's Bruce Arena and Bruce Arena. So
Bruce Arena reports to Bruce Arena, basically.
Anyways, yeah.
He's a polarizing figure, Twellman, but he normally has it correct. I'll have to say.
Yeah, he's very good at his sources and stuff like that. Normally, he's very, very good. And I'm glad that you cleared up what he said, because what I had read on Twitter, and they were paraphrasing him, I guess, was that Tati was going to stay here the rest of the year. And maybe somebody added that on as opposed to him saying that.
You can't say
but
that.
They're going to need somewhere between $16 and $18 million to pry him loose out of New York City. And you know, you hope that somebody like Leeds has that, because it would be absolutely fascinating to see Brendan Aaronson, Harrison, and Valentin Castellanos running wild in the Premier League next year. That'd be freaking great.
They are three fit. They're three fit players, very fit players.
Glenn, you know what is the worst part of this that Roberto just mentioned about Tati and Leeds United?
No. What?
When did I mention you guys, Leeds United and Tati Castellanos?
John, I don't mark your stuff on the calendar. I'm really sorry. But I know you know. When did you tell us? In 2020. May of 2020, right after the Cushing interview.
That is correct. Around 2020, Marcelo Bielsa was still there and he was a target. He's a target from there, because it's not about the coaching stuff. It's about how they have settled the whole scouting system and recruitment system at Leeds United that is working around the globe. But listen, with him, the window in England, the window is open. It opened on the 10th. The transfer will be official beginning on July 1st, and it's going to close in September. So time is what the teams have right now. They are playing with that on their transactions. They are waiting to see if someone else comes for the player that they really want. If that player is not moving, they can keep their lower offer instead of going to the top number. And that's the game that is going on right now. So the fact that it's not an official offer on the table doesn't mean that there's no team ready to do it. It's more than they playing the game.
It's a big game of chicken. You know what Twitter is going to be like for the next month around Tati Castellanos? Between the agent trying to plant some stories here and there, maybe, or, you know, about interest and all of that, and trying to get somebody to step up. You know, you thought the Palmeiras stuff was crazy? Wait. It's going to be worse.
Well, how about our boy Alexander Collins? He's going to come back this weekend. A pretty disappointed fellow. You know, I think we all are. Feel for him. Peru didn't have it today, though, boys. I mean, I watched a majority of the match, and, you know, I thought Australia, you know, had a lot of opportunities themselves, which they failed to catch in on. Roberto, I saw your text on the group text talking about Peru and not catching in on their chances. My goodness, Australia in the first half, they just couldn't drive the ball to the front post properly. Timing, neither team looked particularly good, but Peru, not near their best. Huh?
God, in Spanish, we have a saying, el menos malo ganó, which is the team that was the least worst one. We didn't see the best version of Peru. We didn't see the best version of Australia, I presume. I haven't seen the Socceroos play lately, but that wasn't a good game for either of them. Peru played scared. They made so many mental mistakes, especially when they were close to the box. Nice, simple passes would have opened up some lanes on the outside, and they kept on doing things that you're just like, why didn't he release this pass? Why didn't he do this? It was a lot of that. And, I mean, they came close. Edison Flores from DC United was on his way to Atlas. He had a great header, but it hit the post. I thought that Australia had the better chances, for sure. They had the much clearer chances, but they couldn't put them in. Galese made some saves, and they had some horrific shots. I mean, when they were wide open, and they literally shanked them. So it was a tough game to watch. So much riding on the line. Pressure got to both teams. And at the end of the day, Australia survives in penalty kicks.
Well, how about you love these moments too for Australia. They changed keepers for the PKs, which, a coach, knows his players better than anybody, but Andrew Redmayne came in for Matt Ryan just a couple of minutes before the end of extra time. And he was a nut job along the, I've never seen a goalkeeper do it quite like that. He's huge. I think they said he was 6'4", and he was just running back and forth across the line, waving his arms. And there was one he should have saved, I think, and he didn't because he was flailing around so much in preparation, but I guess at the end it worked. Not on Collins. Our boy Collins converts another penalty.
You have a homework, Glenn.
I have homework?
Yeah.
Okay.
So all the movement that the goalkeeper had on the line, which is legal, by the way. He can
I'm going to get my guy Garrett Jourdais on this, but go ahead, John.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So he can do whatever he wants if he's stepping on the line.
Right.
So, you know, let's take that away. It's legal what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's illegal.
No, no, because there's people that may think about it. It's not the first time that he does this. He does it on a regular basis when he has a not a regular PK, but when he has any kind of shutout, he does it. And pay attention to the moment between the whistle, the blow of the whistle, and the taker, okay? Because that is the moment which he uses to move around on the line. So those takers that are closer to the ball have more chances to convert the PK because he has more, you know, he has less time and he is on their heads less time.
Yeah.
Those takers that are taking a lot of space between the ball before taking the shot are the ones that are more influenced by his movement.
Wouldn't it be an advantage to maybe do the stutter step that we see Castellanos do with a keeper doing all that? And if someone's listening or watching, and you got to go back and watch. So that's interesting that he does it during a shootout, but he wouldn't do it if there was a PK during the course of the regular game.
It has to be an important PK for him to do it.
I don't get that. You want to save it either way.
Yeah, I was going to say all PKs are pretty important.
Yeah.
Unless it's a 5-0 blowout at the point.
Well, you don't take a PK with a Panenka every time, for example.
Right. So I have a question for you, John, because I think this is the perfect you're the perfect guy to answer this. So if you're facing him, you already said that you would take a short run up to it. So what are you thinking about as you're running up to the ball? And where would you place the ball? How would you take that penalty kick?
For me, it would be, and I'm lefty, so it comes into an account. You have to take that into consideration if the taker is right or left. But I'm being lefty. I will take no more than 3 steps, and I have to shoot as, you know, as strong, of course, but down on the corners, lower corners. I'm not going to take anything high because he's a huge guy. And he may be moving by the side that I'm decided to take it at that point.
Yeah, but the one that he didn't save, John, he went low. I don't remember the
kick. He went low
kick.
To his right.
He went low to his right.
High the ball, to his right.
Yeah, and the ball went like just less than a foot over his extended right hand. So in that case, and then Collins, he blasted his high to Collins' right, the shooter's right.
The one that Collins, for example, is the confident PK. You know, I don't care what he's doing. I don't care who's he. I'm going to put it right there, period. And he did it.
And he did it and hit it as hard as he hit the ones in New England and Portland, by the way. He took a little bit off
the big difference is
but he placed
he took the left instead of the center. Yeah.
Almost side netting.
I wonder if the coach selected him. I have no idea if Collins would have been in position to take PKs prior to the MLS Cup playoffs last year when he drilled them. I wonder if that's what put him in the lineup for Peru today. Be curious to find out.
Well, they never had a shout out before.
He's been a starter for Peru since Copa America, since midway of Copa America. He's been, once they put him in there, he's played every single game.
I'm talking about PKs.
I thought you said place him in the lineup. Sorry.
You should be sorry. Not listening to me again.
Not only for that. Yeah, he doesn't listen. He sent texts during important games knowing that
I know he's texting. What's going on in basketball tonight? The Rangers are eliminated. What can we tell? Hey, I was with Roberto and Maddie Lawrence and my son, you know, watching the Rangers after we'd gone to see Al Demiola at the Blue Note down in the Village and then went to GMT? Is that correct?
Something like that, yeah.
GMT Tavern, which is one of Maddie's hangouts. He's got a friend that owns the bar, I think, and watching the Rangers. Boy, that was disappointing. And we got out of there to catch the train back to the big
the minute Ryan Strome missed that sitter in front of goal with about 4 minutes to go, and I was like, that's the series right there. And sure enough,
it's such a New York state of mind. You know, the Rangers are such a big part of the fabric, as are the Knicks. But my goodness, what can we do? And New York City FC, you just wonder. You still see pundits slipping and saying, "Wow, first playoff win for a New York team," and you know. Since 2010,
yeah, but they're not slipping. That's the problem. If they were slipping, you'd say, "All right, I understand this." They purposely leave it out. They keep on going back to the Giants winning the Super Bowl in February of 2013. It's not that they forgot that New York City won. They know New York City won. They don't care. They just said soccer, so it's not important.
I suppose
that's the issue that you have, especially I have with these when they keep on, you know,
talking about
New York hasn't won a championship since 2013. It's like, really, screw you.
Well, maybe they haven't, you know, they aren't ignoring it and know it. Maybe they just don't know it because they refuse to follow the game. Who knows? But you know what? I personally don't get too hung up on that. I'd say just let's keep doing our thing. Anybody that covers the sport, keep doing your thing. The MLS and their clubs, it's a massive responsibility to make sure that your players and coaches are available on a frequent basis to help promote the product, which is not always the case. And, you know, it's all our responsibility just to do our best. And look, there's certain football, American football guys, you're not going to turn their mind ever.
I like that coach mentality, Glenn.
Thank you.
Just control what you can control.
Control what you can control. And don't get too caught up in it. You know, like, being offended that more people don't, you know, just follow the game, period. You know, if they don't want to follow the game, I don't care.
You go blow candles.
I'm enjoying it. We can get up every morning of the week and watch a game on the tube now. I mean, how cool is that?
To get back on the news of the day, for those who want to know, follow, or keep an eye on Ronnie's tenure now at the Belgium League, the nickname of the team is the Reds. And I don't know if that sits well with the Blue Nation at New York City FC. But anyways, that's the nickname. Second thing to pay attention to is the Belgian League and the Eredivisie, which is the Netherlands League, they're working on a merge. All the clubs from the Belgian League voted already in favor of merging with the Eredivisie. It's taking a little more time than they were expecting it. Some people say, some experts there say they may happen by 2025. Some experts say that Eredivisie is not going to go with the whole plan that Belgium League is presenting, and there may be only a few teams that are going to be merging with them. And among those few teams, you will expect that the Reds are in, because that's one of the iconic teams on the Belgium League.
And it'll all have to do with television contracts, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's money. That's all business, survival. Yeah.
And FIFA's got to approve it, right? Because it's not something, it's again, two countries coming together. So it just can't be done on an island per se. FIFA's going to have to get involved. Yeah, so I was speaking to Ariel about that. And Ariel was telling me this basically the same thing, that there was most likely be three or four teams that would go. That doesn't seem to be the plan right now.
The plan that is official is the whole roster of teams.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And they're planning to do, you know, first division and second division with both the Belgian and the Eredivisie.
Which would make both leagues stronger in a way.
Yeah.
I understand them wanting to do that. And I think it would wind up benefiting both of them. But yeah, so TV contracts have to be there, and UEFA's probably have to sign off, and FIFA's got to have to sign off on that happening.
So
I don't like the plan. Where
oh, by the way, yeah, I told you, Glenn, what will happen with Ecuador, right?
Yes, you did. Ecuador is in. Good for Ecuador, and unfortunately, Peru is out. Australia is in after that result today. Roberto, you mentioned FIFA, so Thursday. In the New York area, I'm in Jersey. Roberto, you're in the city. John's in Portland. Whatever's going on out there. And 4-4, John's team just won a championship. Congratulations, John. And, very good coach. There's Coach Rojas, man, going at it, man. Where's your medal? Come on, show us your medal.
I don't have it with me. It's upstairs. Enzo has his.
But these venues, so who's in and who's out? And I think the teams – or I should say the venues, the cities are pretty much giving it away if they're having, you know, inviting all the dignitaries from every part of the world into their, you know, into their like viewing party, like in LA and Philadelphia. And I remember all the places, but
New York, Atlanta.
they're not going to do that Atlanta. unless they know. Right. I mean, even though they're all saying, no, we don't know. I said, come on, man.
Dallas.
Is Seattle having
LA,
to celebrate?
Seattle,
yeah. Miami. What's Miami situation? What do you think? Are they holding a party?
I didn't see the whole list. I didn't see the whole list, but we'll be going to Thursday, right?
Kansas City's having a party, Arrowhead
Kansas
Stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's all they now Qatar. They didn't want the World Cup in Qatar in the summer because it's 130 degrees. How about Arrowhead Stadium in July? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a beautiful place, and Kansas City downtown. It's the coolest spot for everything, but. It could be hot beyond and Nashville the same way. I'm scrolling through the cities. I suppose Cincinnati.
Here's something
Orlando,
interesting though, Glenn.
Denver,
is that Canada was supposed to have three teams, right?
Yeah.
And it was or not three teams. I'm sorry. Canada was supposed to have three venues.
Venues.
And
yeah.
At the beginning, it was supposed to be Toronto, Montreal, and Edmonton, and Vancouver. Because of all the money that FIFA wanted and all that, didn't want to bid. They were like, screw that, we're not doing this, it's going to cost us too much money. At some point, FIFA or the delegation or whoever was able to convince Vancouver to do it, and now Edmonton is out, and so is Montreal. So
There was a report in Front Office Sports this morning, which I get every morning. You should get it. It's free. It comes into your inbox. It's really got some great business stories. Front Office Sports. And the report is that I think what you just said, Toronto and Vancouver are going to be the venues. Edmonton. Yeah, I know. But I mean, this is an official report of people that follow it closely. If you don't
okay,
mind.
But yeah, the point being is that if that happens, right, and you're saying it's official, fine. And I had read it as well. But officially, then what winds up happening is that there's a possibility of there being an 11th city within the United States getting games.
Edmonton.
So that would add, because in Mexico, it looks like it might be even more, because in Mexico, what I had read is that only Azteca had been approved, and maybe they're not going to be games in Monterrey or Guadalajara, which would be horrific. I'd be very disappointed.
Really?
That.
Well, I hadn't heard that. Edmonton still thinks there's an outside chance.
Front Office Sports didn't tell you that, Glenn?
They have it. Well, that wasn't part of the story. The story was all about north of the border. Edmonton says they still have a chance. They haven't been closed out yet. So, so we'll see about that. How about Giorgio Chiellini going from Juventus to LAFC? 37 years old. What are your thoughts, boys? While I show the numbers to everybody. Look at the numbers on this guy, man. He's unbelievable.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course. He won everything that was there to win. No? With the national team, with Juventus. The thing is, Glenn, and I'm going to stick to my point, to any kind of addition to the league, either DPs, TAMs, international players, that comes with any kind of pedigree or age. I don't care if he is 36, and I don't care if he is 21, but if they have to come with the right mentality and attitude to this league and to this competition, and they will be a really good asset to the teams that they're coming to. Otherwise, I don't care if it is Messi, And I don't care if it is Tati Castellanos when he came in being no one, but with, you know, if they don't come with the right mentality, Ezequiel Barco, for example, you know, you have to come with the right mentality. And then you're going to be a really important player here and everybody will love him.
You would think Chiellini is going to be coming in with the proper attitude. It would be hard to, it would be hard to imagine. And they signed it with TAM, so no DP thing. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that he holds a master's in economics and economic sciences. I don't even know what that is, from the University of Turin. But
very nice. I mean, I think LAFC, I mean, obviously he can be a really important player for LAFC. And I think they're also going to treat him with kid gloves, meaning I don't think he's going to be playing too many games on artificial turf. I don't think he's going to be playing too many games in 115 degrees and things like that.
That is insane.
Right. So
that is
insane.
So why are you wasting on a spot on someone and money on someone? No, you need a contributor. You don't need a pennant to move around and bubble around. And no. You have a player that comes and contribute, period. Okay, that's the big point. That's the big issue. You know what? Stay home.
That was the Steven Gerrard. That was Steven Gerrard.
No, it's not that he doesn't want to play. The thing is that LA may want to protect him from those things. So
no,
because
they want him to put everything on the field every single day. Period.
Well, they've got a 19-year-old.
Otherwise, it doesn't make a change. Why?
It could work. I mean, they've got a 19-year-old center back, right? Mamadou Fall.
The center back for them are really good core. I mean, Mamadou Fall is a really young guy. They have
Segura back. Is he back in from injury?
He's now back from injury. Right. So he's regaining his game fitness. He needs that. You know that. So he's physically healthy now, but he needs the fitness, the game fitness. And then they have Jesus Murillo. That's the other center back. They're all young guys. I mean, not Fall, of course, is the really young of that core. But Chiellini will be a great addition with the other tools, helping develop them and give them the experiences that he has and taking them under his wing. But what I don't agree, because I sorry, Robert, but it's like I'm hearing this from many other people in MLS, and this is such a bull. You know, oh, he comes for the big games because LAFC wasn't be able to win any kind of big game. So he's going to be ready for that. You don't need him for Sunday. You need him for the final. How the heck you get in the final if you don't play on Sunday? Simple as that. You don't pay money to players to come and, you know, get the air and say, okay, I'll play when I feel we're going to win and everybody's
going to
No,
no, it's, again, no. It's not him. It's not him. It's the
it's
way they
It's worse on the institution
him.
If they do it. It's worse on them. If the club is willing to do that, it's worse.
Well, the thing is that we're going to get a chance to see it come July and how they wind up using him.
18-month contract, so I think
he's twice the age of Mamadou Fall.
To what? So if that is too heavy on you, don't bring him in. Of course.
Man, I would love to play.
Imagine that. The contract is 18 months. You do, as an institution, what you're saying you're doing, right? Okay, I don't take him to Salt Lake City. I don't take him to Seattle I don't take him to Atlanta. I don't take him to Colorado. So he's going to play, what, 10, 15 games in 18 months for them just because I'm taking care of him? I don't need to take care of a player. I need to take care of my club as a club.
All right. Well,
I
agree. I mean, if he's fit, he should be playing. July 8th, by the way, the El Trafico Galaxy LAFC could very well be the first game back, unless they hold him back because there's too much pressure in that game. You know, I'm just kidding.
There's no two Zlatans.
God.
No, let's
children.
Top story today is very easy here on Soccer of the City. Ronnie Dyla, it was announced this morning, is departing or has departed. He'll run Standard Liège practice on Tuesday morning. So he's already over in Belgium. He's going to run their training session. Nick Cushing ran his second training session today as the interim manager for New York City FC. and New York City getting ready to play Colorado. I did want to play, you know, Ronnie Dyla. We talked to him so often, and I had him on the pregame before almost every game. But in preseason, I don't know if you guys remember, I had him for 45 minutes, part of my the Coaching Academy on SiriusXM FC, and then I also put it up on YouTube. And I thought there was a certain turning point maybe, and what I liked about Ronnie is that he was continuing to learn. You know, he was sometimes he, you know, had his way and he was going to stick with it. But I thought, remember that streak, the famous streak, which included the 2-0 loss to Chicago in 2021 before they went on that run to win MLS Cup. And this is what he told me about.
And I think one of the things we learned there was can't be too serious. You know, the fun part, I think that we forgot, you know, because we really, really wanted to achieve something. And then when you overdo things and you maybe speak too much about tactics, speak too much about what need to improve, then you lose the joy of it sometimes. And I think that was what happened after the game in Chicago, was the bottom level. As long as I coached this team, that was the worst game we played, because not necessary because we what we did, but I didn't see any energy, I didn't see any spirit, I didn't see any fight. And then before that day, I had talked a lot about, you know, that we have to understand the importance of the game and people has to go to in themselves. And, you know, and at once as this game started, I understand what a bad decision you make there. Because the game was played 100 times and they were tied before the game started.
That's from February 1st, 2022. Ronnie Dyla, now in Belgium for Standard Liège. And a day of, I'm sure, sadness losing Ronnie Dyla, a guy who led New York City to MLS Cup, but a day of joy for a guy like Nick Cushing, who's been waiting for this opportunity as well. So there you have it.
Yeah, you know, that reminded me, Pat Riley's Knicks. Oh, John is going to hate this, but sorry, John. Pat Riley's Knicks during a really bad streak, and it was about the mentality. And what he did is that he took the team to Vegas for 2 days during a break. And then from there, he took them to Vegas to forget about basketball, to forget about everything, to get them in a different state of mind, and then, you know, go back and play the season. So, and it was effective for him. So those things work.
I put my tip of the day out once, John. I think John liked this one. It was one of those, you know, if you sense that your team is really struggling, you know, they're just, you know, completely overwhelmed and it's not going well, consider altering your training session or just taking them out for a couple of slices, you know. And I think you really have to recognize that. And I think we should recognize that Ronnie Dyla could look outside of himself and really had a clear picture about the people. And which is why I think he'll always have success.
I have a question for both of you, and it's me bringing in topics from Twitter world, okay? So I read today after the announcement from someone, and it's not necessary to credit anybody because this is a conversation around Twitter, but they were saying NYCFC is such a good roster. It was built so well that Ronnie Dyla didn't have so much of an impact, and whoever was the coach will won MLS Cup and will do what he did.
I don't think so. You know why? Because it takes more than the depth of the roster to manage a team, right, John? I don't buy that at all. And when you listen to Rob Vertugian, Nick Cushing, Mehdi Bolushi, some of the players we've been able to interact with, I think his ability to bring this team together and keep them, you know, in a positive way during moments that we would construe as negative, and knowing that it's just the course of life that we're going to get through if we do it together. I think he was able to get that message across, and not every manager can. And so I would disagree with that just because of that. But yeah, the roster has been built pretty nicely, I think.
I agree with that part for sure. The roster is very nice, but you have to have the right guy who can take that roster and get the most out of it. And you can have the best players, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win a championship every year or you're going to win a championship at all. So, no, I think the manager has a lot to do with it. I don't think you can just plug in any manager and they're going to win anyway. That team was on a 5-game streak of not scoring goals. And then they were able to turn that around. And then from then on, they didn't lose. So, you know, you're not going to win all the time just because you happen to have the best talent in the league or any given day. So, no, I agree.
Okay.
All right. And yes. Hold on. I want to give Roberto one thing here. Then do you want to close with something? I got something up on my screen here.
Yes.
I didn't know allowed to add things. What is
it? I added, you play it. That will be our end. Okay.
Say goodbye.
You let it roll.
All right. Well, first, okay? Ethan Horvath is starting in goal for the U.S. against El Salvador. Not Sean Johnson, not Matt Turner. And Roberto, you get the final word regarding the U.S. men's national team in this game tomorrow night.
It's an interesting game because if we remember, the United States started off World Cup qualifying against El Salvador in El Salvador, and they tied 0-0. We expect the U.S. team to be a hell of a lot better than it was that day, only because of the fact that it's been a year and a half since that happened, and this team should have elevated its quality and matured. There's a big decision that Greg Berhalter is going to have to make, even if with a 26-man roster, you're not carrying four goalies. I don't think you're carrying four goalies. And it's going to be interesting to see if Johnson's on that plane or not, or who he's leaving off. Johnson will probably be the only goalkeeper who's going to be playing regularly at that time, unless somebody like Stefan or Matt Turner or Horvath goes out on loan or winds up winning the duel to be able to be the starting keepers on their teams. So that between that and number nine and the center of defense are the three areas where he's got to make some really, really tough decisions, Greg Berhalter. And, you know, tomorrow against El Salvador in Cuscatlan is another opportunity for players to step up.
I have a prediction. Greg Berhalter is going to pick who he thinks his best two goalkeepers are. And then his third keeper, if Sean Johnson is not one of those two, is Sean Johnson. Because of his veteran presence in the locker room, he knows he'll handle the situation well. He knows that if in some event he's going to have to step out there, he'll be able to handle it because of his experience. But I think Sean Johnson is a massive presence in that group. I hear him talk about the camaraderie and the different things, and I think he's a major player in that. I think a lot of people speak to Sean Johnson, the younger players within that group. So that's my prediction. Sean Johnson's on the plane to Qatar.
And he helped himself in that game against Uruguay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John.
No, I'm just saying, I agree with that. These games are only, a little page on the book that Berhalter has to write in each player. And to my point of view, he knows now the three goalkeepers and he had them on his hand.
All right, guys. So, John, am I closing with this completely? No,
just let it ride. Say goodbye. And you finish this whenever the clip finishes.
All right. Well, Roberto and I, we've got the English and the Spanish radio commentary coming up on Sunday. Colorado Rapids visiting Yankee Stadium in New York City FC. Our airtime 4:45 for the pregame show. Maddie Lawrence and I at 4 p.m. Eastern will have our pregame live stream. Roberto and Ariel will have their live stream at 3:30 Eastern time ahead of that 5 p.m. kickoff. Yes, Roberto.
Download the new NYCFC app, and now you can listen to the game straight there.
In the stadium, man. Bring your phone, hold it up to your ear, and if it's 5 or 6 seconds delay, just deal with it.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It is only 5 or 6 seconds. It really isn't that terrible.
All right, guys, wonderful to chat, and we will close with this.
We went to Bulls on Timbers! We won the cup! We won at Gillette Stadium! And we won at Subaru Park! We're led by Ronnie Dyer! They call us
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.